How are you all doing today? I got one response. The rest of you are sleeping. Okay. Wake up. It is a glorious day outside. We are one quarter of the way through our new year. Not one quarter, 1/12, sorry. Getting a little ahead of myself there. It'll be one quarter soon enough. Time does fly, but yet as things change, things stay the same. And as we see, or have seen as we've gone through the letter of 1 Corinthians, a letter that was written 2,000 years ago, roughly, it's as current today as the day it was written. And that's not all due to chance. It's due to the dynamic nature of God's Word. And the truth that the Lord has put here is vital for us to leading our lives as Christians. Next 2 weeks here, we're going to finish up in 1 Corinthians. Then we're going to have a celebration for Jeannie, and then we'll move into 2 Corinthians. So if you want to start reading ahead, feel free. I always encourage you to be reading ahead and being familiar with where we're going. That way, if I say something that the text doesn't support, you can come and say, Pastor, no, I don't think so. It's your job to hold me accountable to that. I don't do it too often. I try never to do it. But I have had people come up and say, and sometimes, most of the time, I've been able to show my position and that they've seen, okay, I see where that's coming from. Sometimes I've been shown where maybe I've been in error. Because I am not the one who's without error. So I encourage you, read the Scripture. Know what's here. So let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we're going to start with the 5th verse. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you. For I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. I do not want to see you now and only make a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. If Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord, just as I am. No one, then, should refuse to accept him. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may return to me. I am expecting him, along with the brothers. Now, about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. You know, the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work and labors in it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunus, and Arcatius arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've put it here to encourage and bless and guide us. Or might we turn to you and to it for that encouragement, for that blessing, for that guidance. Lord, not just when things have gone horribly wrong, or when we have some momentous project ahead of us, but Lord, also in the everyday, day to day, moment by moment, determination of what it is we're going to do, how it is we're going to behave. Lord, may we turn to you and your word and follow it there. Seek our encouragement and strength there from you, the source, our Creator, our God, our Lord and Savior. Father, I pray this morning that as I come to preach, your anointing would be upon me. Lord, I ask that nothing I do here would in any way detract from your truth, but all would come together to lift up your name, to bring glory to you and encouragement to the brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, that those who don't know you as Lord and Savior would be drawn closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgot to shut that off. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Now, this isn't a Steelers or a Cardinals jersey. It's actually one of Ryan's jerseys from a team that he played on at Bragg. And I saw it this morning. I said, yeah, I got to wear it. This morning I want to talk about, as I felt that the passage here today talked about, helping hands. It's teamwork. It's helping each other. Well, that's the football jersey. That's what football is about, teamwork. If you play football and you try to play it as an individual sport instead of a team sport, you're not going to do very well. And your teammates won't be appreciative of your play either. And you'll probably be removed from the team. Well, Paul has come to the end of his letter. And he's had to take the Corinthians into the woodshed and deliver some serious discipline. But now he's come to the end of the letter. And while throughout there's also been words of encouragement, he wants to end on a high note and a word of encouragement. And he's come alongside and saying, you know, I want to encourage you. One of the ways I can encourage you is telling you that I need your help too. It's not just that you needed my help for me to come alongside of you and tell you where you were going off the straight and narrow. But instead, here, I need some assistance, I need some understanding from you, I have a few things I would like for you to do on my behalf and on behalf of others. And we see here this interaction where Paul lays out a few things there. He would like some assistance, some for himself and some for others. Because of the body of Christ is supposed to be helping hands for each other, a team, a body, one. Paul says he wants to come and visit. That he doesn't want to come for just a short visit. But it may just end up being a short visit. That's in the Lord's hands. He's just letting them know, this is the situation. This is what I want. but I don't always get what I want. Man, even Paul doesn't always get what he wants. Am I going to get everything I want? Nope. Are you going to get everything you want? Nope. But what I do want, and what I should be able to expect and count on, is your help as I go about doing the Lord's work. And this is the help that Paul's asking for. And going back to the Corinthians, who he's really has taken some strong discipline to, but he's saying, you know, even so, you can be a great help. You are a great help. I need your help. I'm just not discounting you and saying, you know, we're done with you. No. We're trying to just correct what's going on here, and I need your help. Well, I can say that from here. I need your help as pastor here at Northbrook, as ministering. I can't do it all. Paul's saying the same thing. I can't do it all. And none of us should expect that we do it all ourselves. Chris came up this morning and said, you know, I'm not chairman of Alliance Men. I have no idea what that means. But I do know it means I need help. Wisdom beyond his years. And a good sermon illustration. I love it when the Lord provides. And he always does. But now here's Chris coming before saying, Lord, I need help. Well, if we're following the Lord, what are we supposed to do when our brother asks for help? Help. Because we're one body. Now, Paul moves on and talks about one of the reasons why he's delayed. He says, I want to come right now, but you know what? I've hooked into a big one. I got a really effective ministry happening right now. A lot of people are being led to Christ, and I can't leave right now. I got to work this out. Oh, and because I got this effective ministry going on, I've got all sorts of opposition. You wouldn't believe the opposition I got going on. Praise God. Now, that's kind of the attitude that he has here. And kind of one of the things that we should recognize. Sometimes we get the attitude as Christians that, you know, if we're following God, we're not going to have any hiccups in the road, that there won't be any opposition. Wrong. Satan is active. I mean, have you read Ephesians? The end of chapter 6, the whole thing about putting on the armor of God? We don't do that because nobody's shooting at us. You put on the armor because we're targets. It tells us that we have an enemy who is smart and plans ahead and does seek to attack us in our weak moments. Well, Paul's there and he's working. And when we're effective, the enemy doesn't want us to just be effective, so he comes against us and brings opposition. Not just because we have troubles in our life doesn't mean that we're doing God's will either. Let's not go to either extreme. But here we see Paul saying, you know, I'm in the midst of an effective work. People are being saved. I'm ministering. There's a lot happening here. And you know what? I got opposition. And because there's got opposition, I can't leave. Why? What does opposition think if you leave the field? You know, if, you know, one team went out for the Super Bowl today and they said, you know, the Cardinals said, boy, those, you know, come on, Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers. I know who's playing. Because the Steelers, if the Steelers said, you know, the Cardinals came out and said, you know, those Steelers, they won't let us run the ball down the field and let us run across the line. They keep stopping us. You think the coach would react well if they said, well, we're just not going to play anymore because, you know, we've got opposition. He said, but you were doing so well. You had a 5-yard run. Yeah, but I wanted to run 100 yards. They wouldn't let me. Now, that's a game, but it's also life. We don't always, I want to make that 100-yard run. Okay, I really don't want to because I would fall down gasping and not able to breathe if I attempted to run 100 yards right now. I'm not in shape like I used to be. But part of me really wants to in my mind. Still thinks I'm 19 and in shape. I live in a fantasy world. But here we go. We have opposition. So we go best and we get tackled. We say, oh, there's a problem. No, in a football game, they don't give up. Well, neither should we in ministry or in life. We want to continue forward. We're going to need to expect the opposition. Because they're just not going to stand aside and say, oh, please, you want to run 100 yards? Go ahead. Be my guest. I think if something like that happened at the Super Bowl, there would be like grand jury investigations and people would go to jail and you just don't, the opposition just doesn't step aside and they're not going to step aside for us either. We need to work through it. We need to expect it as long as we're actively seeking to follow God. And we're doing an effective work, well, we're going to have opposition. So we need assistance as we go through this. And then we different ones. Now, Timothy, he's going out to do some work, and he's being sent out, and Paul says, hey, make sure Timothy's taken care of. This guy works. He shouldn't have to fear for anything when he's with you. Watch over him. Come alongside of him. Give him what he needs. I'm expecting him to come here with some of the brothers. So some others from the church. I'm expecting him. And I'm expecting you to send him on his way. I'm expecting you to be the one who sends him and cares for him. It's this helping hands. Even though Timothy's doing his ministry, as he comes through, this church is supposed to come alongside and encourage him and bless him and send him on his way. This is why we sometimes allow speakers from outside the Alliance to come and speak here. We shouldn't just be closed into just our group, but we have these other people who have ministries who need to, and we allow them to come in and we pray for them. We hear what they have to say. We encourage them and we send them off. Sometimes we send them off with a small gift. Sometimes we send them off with a larger gift. But we provide for them as best we can and as the Lord leads and provides. But we just don't say, nope, we're not going to help. We try not to, anyways. When we have those who are recommended to us from those who are over us, absolutely not. We receive them. We say, hey, tell us how we can help. Tell us what's happening in your ministry. And we pray for them. We pray with them. We give them comfort, we give them shelter, we give them fellowship, encourage and bless them, and then we send them on the way with the brothers. Remember, amazingly enough, we are the family of God. We're brothers and sisters. And it's not just, now, you might be closer with one sibling or another sibling, especially those of you who have large families or extended families. You can be closer with a particular family, but yet, they're all family. And we're all family. We all have certain rights and expectations. We need to adhere to these. And I'll tell you what, if If my sister or my stepbrother or my stepsister ever showed up at my door and just said, I need help, I open the door and I let them in. I say, what do I need to do? What do you need? If their kids show up at my door, if one of my cousins shows up, I've got cousins I haven't seen for, let's see, I'm 47. And I have some cousins who I know their names, who I haven't seen for about 39 years. If one of them showed up at my door, I'd let them in. Because we're family. So Timothy's coming. Paul's letting him know they're coming. I got to tell you a story about my uncle, Steve. He went up north and up by Grand Marais, and he's up there and coming back, and his car blew an engine just north of Duluth. I've got some cousins who live in that area who own a junkyard and a body shop. And cousin Steve showed up at their door, said, I need help. And they said, we're closed. So he calls down town and says, Mom. They said no. She said, I'll take care of it. She called her brother, his cousin's father. They showed up. They came and found him and brought him home, put him in the house, got his car, put a new engine in it that day, and sent him on his way. Because Daddy said, you're not taking care of your family. That's what Paul's trying to set up here. This is the way we need to react with our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the same way. Next, Paul moves on and talks about Apollos. There was a big hullabaloo earlier in the letter that he was dealing with, this division between some follow Paul, some follow Apollos, some follow Christ. It's like, hold it. We're not supposed to be following different ones. We're all like on the same path here. We're all following Jesus. And, don't follow me. And Paul just tried to wipe this all away. He was kind of hoping that Apollos would go. And now, Paul's written his letter and said, don't do that. Now he's kind of hoping that maybe Apollos would go over there and say that. But Apollos is busy. But he says he'll go when he has opportunity. I'm looking at this and I'm going, but don't they have a crisis going on in Corinth? Shouldn't Apollos drop everything and go? No, maybe what Apollos is doing is more important. We don't know. We're not always the center of the universe. I'm not always the center of the universe. So I know you're not. Because none of us are. But sometimes we act like it. Now, Apollos is referred to by Paul as his brother. Again, this family. He's saying, no, my brother, he's going to come to you. I wanted him to come right now, and I really wanted him to, but he's not going to. He's going to come when he can. When he does, I want you to listen. Pay attention. Now, Paul has some wise counsel that he goes on with, and he says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. In chapter 3, he opens up by saying, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. Now he's telling them to be strong men. I couldn't address you as men. This is the way he starts off. You're just infants. You're supposed to be mature. I say, here, at the end of the letter, he's saying, okay, I'm going to assume you got the message. I'm going to assume that you took to heart the correction. And I want you to be the men of God that you can, the women of God that you can. Be strong in God. Don't be wishy-washy and blown by every breeze, but stand firmly on Christ. Be on your guard. What? Isn't God going to watch over me? Don't I have 55,000 guardian angels? It tells me that in the email that I got. If I forward this to 5 people, I'll get another 10 guardian angels. Isn't that the way it works? No. We don't get guardian angels who watch over us because, so that we can ignore what's going on. Now, are there guardian angels? I'm not going to go get into all that whole theology thing, but there is some issue of guardian angels. But you know what? I'm not going to trust in a guardian angel. I'm going to trust in Christ. And I'm going to trust that I need to be on guard against the attacks of the enemy, instead of just wandering around flirting with disaster, you know, trying to keep a guardian angel in employ. You know, it's not a good idea. Just as a matter of safety, you know, we don't run around trying to test how well the safety measure will keep us in place. Well, you know, I've got a seatbelt in my car, so I bet if I put the seatbelt on, I bet it'll hold me in place if I hit something at 20 miles an hour. So I should go out and hit something at 20 miles an hour just see how well it holds me. No, I don't want to do that. I put it in place and hope that I never have to use it. So I drive carefully so as not to hit something. We need to be on guard so we don't run into those things, run into those problems. This is good and wise counsel, which Paul is ending with in this letter. He had upbraided him before and he's encouraged him, but now he's come alongside and saying, okay, be on guard. Okay, I've come and I've told you the truth. Now be in guard. Be in guard for what? Attacks of various kinds. From yourself, from the enemy, from others. I hate to say it, but, you know, all attacks against Christians don't originate from Satan. Some of them originate from other Christians. Why? Because, well, here's the deal. Each and every one of us is a fallen person. Now, we've received Christ, so we're new creatures in Christ, yeah? But you know what? None of us still manages to do it perfectly. Not this side of heaven. It just doesn't work that way. There would be no church splits. There would be no church politics. There would be no difficulties within the church if we were all sinless. If we all perfectly followed God's will. If we all could perfectly discern God's will. There'd be no friction. Now, for our church, we have a moderately low level of such personal friction, but it does occur. We need to be on guard. We don't let that stuff get to be a problem. Okay. Paul closes this part. You know what? I'm just going to leave that. I'm going to catch back to that next week instead of cutting that short. I didn't realize that we were already this late. And I think we're just going to close on this. As Paul is bringing to a close the letter, in this part here, he says, do everything in love. My own personal soapbox. Love one another. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. Repeat after me. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. And that's love. He says, do everything in love. So we're not considering ourselves first. It's selfless. It's loyal. That means even the people who were nasty to us, we still act in a loving fashion toward them. That is, we do what's best for them. Not always necessarily what they want. Again, we've often used the illustration of the small child who is reaching up for the hot stuff on the stove, you know, a pot or something, and you slap their hand. Why? Because if they grabbed it, they could pull it down themselves and hurt themselves. Well, but they want it. Well, tough. If I actually let them do that, they could be seriously hurt, even killed. So I bring discipline against them so they don't do that. That's a loving action. It's also a loving action to go up to somebody who's been hurt and say, put your arm around them and say, I'm here. I care for you. I cry with you. That's love. Both ends of the spectrum. Everything in between. That's the way we're going to interact. Everything. Do everything in love. Father, we ask that you would help us to have hands that reach out to one another so that we might do everything in love, that we might come together as the body of Christ, assisting one another, walking with one another. Lord, might we be on guard for each other and for you, so that the attack of the enemy and of our own fallen natures wouldn't come through and harm our testimony, our ministries, all of which are here for the purpose of taking the gospels of those who don't know it and lifting up your name. Lord, help us to be better followers of Christ. Help us to be better brothers and sisters to one another. Lord, might we do everything in love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we close, and we're singing It's Your Blood.